There are two sides to metta practice, and it's good to develop both. One is metta in the context of your relations with other people, how you speak to them, how you act with them, and the thoughts particularly that you have toward them. The Buddha lists goodwill as one of the 10 types of skillful action, one of the 3 skillful mental actions. You're devoid of inordinate greed. You bear no ill will. And your views are straightened out. In other words, you believe in the principle of karma, principle of rebirth. These are precepts for the mind as you engage with other people. Because remember, with the precepts, the important thing is your intentions. If you break a precept unintentionally, it doesn't count as broken. And it's usually through greed or ill will or delusion that we break the precepts. So metta, in this sense, it is a part of the practice of virtue. It's one of the virtues of the mind. And as the Buddha said, if you realize that you have harmed other people, you recognize that it was harmful, that it was a mistake, what you did, resolve not to repeat it, and then you develop thoughts of goodwill for all beings in all directions. The purpose being that you want to make sure that you don't harm yourself, you don't harm others, you don't harm yourself with a lot of useless recrimination, you don't beat yourself up over the past mistakes you've made. You recognize them, but you don't wound yourself with them. Because if you think wounding thoughts about your past mistakes, you tend to block out that memory of past mistakes, and then you're going to repeat the past mistakes. This is your way of keeping that memory alive in a way that's not painful. And of course, it motivates you to act in ways that are skillful when you're dealing with other people. The other side of metta practice is that it is a Brahma Vihara. It is a place where the mind dwells, a meditation object, a meditation dwelling. You develop thoughts of goodwill for beings in all directions. As the Buddha said, you develop this attitude with directed thought and evaluation, with a modicum of evaluation and no directed thought, with no directed thought, no evaluation. With rapture, without rapture, with enjoyment, with equanimity. In other words, you're able to get the mind into the different states of jhana through the practice of goodwill. The directed thought and evaluation would have to do with thinking about events in the day or relationships with other people in general. Is there anyone out there who you would find it difficult to have thoughts of goodwill for? And you can probably think of quite a few people. Some of them would be groups of people. Some of them would be people you've read about in the news. Others would be people you've actually had dealings with in the course of the day. That makes it real. And again, it ties these two practices together. When you think about what it would mean to have goodwill for someone. It doesn't mean, may you be happy doing whatever you're doing. Think about it in terms of karma. If people are going to be happy, they're going to have to create the causes of happiness through their thoughts, through their words, through their deeds. So when you're wishing for them to be happy, you're basically wishing, may they be skillful in their thoughts and their words and their deeds. And on the face of it, that should be a thought you can feel toward anyone without hypocrisy. But then, of course, there may be people you would like to see suffer a little bit first. They've done a lot of evil. They've had a lot of ill will. We see this especially now, when ill will seems to be in fashion. The Buddha's definition for ill will is, may these beings be killed, may they be destroyed, may they be crushed, may they not exist at all. That attitude seems to be in the ascendant. So we have to counteract it with our own thoughts of goodwill, so that we don't pick up those attitudes. And we don't develop those attitudes towards the people who have them. So the directed thought and evaluation and the concentration help you to think through areas where you might be tempted to have ill will for somebody. That has a good effect on your actions. But the performance of goodwill is not just performance with other people, it's also performance with your own mind. As you've thought through all the difficulties you might have about thinking of this person, that person, and finally come to the conclusion, yeah, you don't want to have ill will for them, then the mind can settle down with a modicum of evaluation or with no evaluation at all, no directed thought. Just be there with a feeling of rapture. Because goodwill is a very pleasant feeling to have. The sense that you have no animosity with anybody in the world. There's no desire to see anybody suffer. That lifts the quality of your heart, makes it more expansive. And this expansive heart is what you're after. It's a good place to be, a comfortable place to be. Again, you want to be here without a sense of hypocrisy. You want to honestly be here with goodwill, which is why the practice of goodwill as a Brahma-Vihara does depend on the practice of goodwill as an aspect of virtue. When you actually live your life in a way where you're not harming anybody, it's a lot easier to have thoughts of goodwill in all directions, spread them out with no obstacles at all, nobody getting in the way. In other words, none of your defilements getting in the way. And at the same time, when you're able to dwell in this state, as you get past the directed thought and evaluation, you're thinking less and less about people, more about just beings in all directions, and then all directions. All directions, without every reference to people. That's when it does become a Brahma-Vihara. This is something you have to develop. Some people say that goodwill is natural to us. What we have to do is forget about our poor social conditioning, get beyond that, and our natural goodwill will arise. Well, we do have goodwill naturally, but we also have ill will naturally. If ill will were not natural, we wouldn't be seeing any of it. This is why the Buddha calls it a Brahma-Vihara and not a Manusa-Vihara. Manusa-Vihara, human dwelling. Human dwelling, goodwill would be partial. In a Brahma-Vihara, it's universal, immeasurable. Now when you have a taste of that, it's useful in two ways. One, it goes back to the virtue of goodwill. When you've had a good session of wishing goodwill to all beings sincerely, then you come out of it and you find it's really difficult to have ill will for specific people. So that strengthens your virtue. But the stability of that state makes it equivalent to the different jhanas. There's a passage where a monk comes to see the Buddha and asks him for some meditation advice. The Buddha basically says there are eight topics you can focus on. You've got the four establishings of mindfulness, the body in and of itself, feelings, mind states, mental qualities in and of themselves, ardent, alert, and mindful, putting aside greed and distress with reverence to the world. Here's where he says you develop this concentration. Mindfulness here is a concentration practice. This is one of the passages in the canon that makes that really explicit. You develop it with directed thought and evaluation. Without directed thought, a modicum of evaluation. No directed thought, no evaluation. With rapture, without rapture. With enjoyment, with equanimity. And then you do the same with the Brahma-Viharas. Start with goodwill, then on to compassion, empathetic joy, equanimity. With directed thought and evaluation. With a modicum of evaluation, no directed thought, with rapture, without rapture, with enjoyment, with equanimity. Now these are states that you can use as a basis for insight. Once the mind is clear like this, once it's settled down like this, with a sense of well-being, then it's a lot easier to see your defilements, not only in your dealings with other people, but also in more subtle areas. So these two sides of goodwill. Goodwill is one of the virtues, a part of right view, and the virtues of the mind, mundane right view. And goodwill as a practice of concentration, as a dwelling for the mind. They help each other along. They're both performance arts. As a virtue, you perform well in the world. You don't create any bad karma. As a dwelling, becomes a good place to develop insight. If you don't develop the insight, it can take you to good rebirths. Learn how to maintain these attitudes as you approach death. There is that passage, though, where Sariputta takes a Brahmin who's been a student of his and has been misbehaving, gets the student to change his attitudes. And as he's dying, he takes him up to basically the Brahma worlds, through the Brahma Viharas. And that's where the guys were born. Sariputta comes back to see the Buddha. The Buddha chastises him. He said, there's more work to be done. You could have taken him further. But the Brahma worlds are not bad. After all, non-returners are born in the Brahma worlds. That's what that last passage in the Karaniyamayata Sutta is all about, using the Brahma Viharas as a basis for overcoming sensuality. So it's a good practice to have. It's a good practice to make part of your repertoire. Don't rest satisfied with it, but don't look down on it. It's your nourishment on the path. It's good inside and it's good outside. And as I said, in this world where ill will seems to be in fashion right now, the more people who can develop goodwill, maintain it as their value, the better we'll all be.